It's really fascinating how we form these quick snapshots of people, isn't it? We see someone make that first judgment, but well, underneath, there's often this whole universe we know absolutely nothing about.
Yeah, totally. It reminds me of that saying, you know, nobody walks around wearing a sign listing all their life experiences.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that feels particularly true when you think about who we're focusing on in this deep dive today.
Absolutely. It's that that desire to look past the surface, isn't it? To actually listen. That's where the really incredible stories are. We just categorize people so fast.
But life's rarely that simple. And that brings us straight to John Wilkinson. Now, if you just catch the start of the YouTube video we've been looking at, episode 26, The Gentleman Next Door, the John Wilkinson story from Military Tales.
Right.
You hear about his charming accent, his, well, infectious giggle. You might just think, oh, what a lovely older gentleman.
Just a nice neighbor, perhaps.
Precisely. But what actually unfolds, what we really want to unpack here, is that this man, John Wilkinson, he was a World War II airman, a Spitfire pilot. And he witnessed some, well, some truly dark historical moments.
That contrast is, yeah, it's stark. That sort of lighthearted outside hiding such an intense past. It really drives home the point about those hidden stories, you know? Someone you just pass on the street might have lived through things you can barely imagine.
So our mission today, digging into these clips from John's story, is really to get beyond that first impression. We want to explore the pretty remarkable life of this gentleman next door and maybe understand a bit about what shaped him.
Sounds good.
Let's start with his early flying, maybe his time training in America.
Yeah, good place to begin. His initial training over there, like he talks about in the video, it really shows how different aviation was then.
It's almost hard to believe, right? He says he soloed after just 8 hours of flight time. This was back in June 1942.
8 hours, it's stunning.
The YouTube host is understandably pretty floored by that. He points out, you know, today it's like 40 hours minimum.
Can you imagine? Just 8 hours, and then you're up there alone. The sheer pressure must have been immense.
Yeah, definitely speaks to the urgency of the war, I suppose. Maybe a different emphasis on, I don't know, natural talent.
Could be.
Yeah.
But it also tells you what these young guys were facing. What's also interesting, though, is how positive he sounds about being a British trainee in the US.
Yeah, he speaks really warmly about how he was treated, the reception he got. It's quite a nice reminder of that Allied bond during the war. But then you hear about the money, 50 cents a day, and part of that was danger pay.
50 cents. Wow.
It really puts the sacrifice into perspective, doesn't it? Just highlights that it was about duty, not, well, not financial reward.
Absolutely. And even with those limited funds, he talks about how good the American training actually was.
Right. He noticed some guys just tooled around the sky on their solos.
Yeah.
But he took it super seriously. He'd already seen the Battle of Britain's from the ground, you see.
Okay. So he knew what was coming. That early taste of war really focused him, clearly.
Seems like it. And then his description of the Spitfire.
Oh.
The connection he felt.
Oh, yeah.
You can almost feel it when he talks. He says he felt one with that machine. Talks about how incredibly maneuverable it was.
That's crucial, isn't it? Feeling like the plane is an extension of yourself, especially in combat. The Spitfire was famous for that agility.
That elliptical wing design.
Exactly, essential for dogfighting. That confidence in your machine must have been vital. Shifting gears a bit, the video then talks about some of the preparations even before actual combat.
Yes, those little details that really
Yeah.
paint a picture, like the Russian identification they wore around their necks.
Right. Just in case.
In case they had to land behind Soviet lines and, well, not get mistaken for the enemy. It shows the complexity of it all.
Meticulous planning for things going wrong. And then the silk maps and the knife and the survival kit. Standard escape and evasion stuff.
But also that other knife, the one strapped to his shin, inside his boot.
Yeah, specifically to cut himself free if he was trapped in the wreckage. That's a chilling detail. Really underscores the
It
danger.
just brings it home, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It wasn't just enemy planes, flying itself, crashing, getting captured, constant threats. Then the conversation shifts to the V-1s, the flying bombs.
This part is quite something. The way he talks about it is almost casual, considering how dangerous it was.
Their unit was based overlooking the Romney Marshes, right? A common path for the V-1s, the buzz bombs.
Yep. And he describes how they'd literally sit out on the commander's mansion patio,
A mansion patio.
watching these things fly over, watching the coastal guns try to shoot them down. And then if one got close, they'd duck behind this little brick wall to avoid the blast wave.
He actually calls it sort of sport. It's remarkable, really, how people adapt psychologically.
It's got to be a coping mechanism, right? A way to normalize constant terror. But wow, it shows just how many of these things they must have seen.
Day after day. Then, the story takes a much, much darker turn when their unit moved up behind the British front lines.
Yeah, this is heavy stuff. He talks about seeing the Gate of Bergen-Belsen, the Nazi death camp.
He even seen it from the air before, he mentions.
And his description of the inmates, just saying they were like walking skeletons. It's
Yeah.
so stark, so visceral.
Hits you right there.
It conveys that unimaginable suffering, and the press was there. He saw them documenting it, saw their photos too. It hammers home the reality.
He also made this really insightful observation about the survivors. He felt like, his words, they didn't want to be gawked yet.
That shows real empathy, doesn't it? Respect for their suffering right in that immediate raw moment. He wasn't just looking, he was trying to understand the human cost.
The sensitivity is really noticeable. Then the video moves on to his gun camera footage, and the host sounds seriously impressed by John's skill.
Yeah, he uses words like killer, marksman. You can tell the footage made an impact. John talks about shooting at ground targets, especially trains.
Right. And he's quite candid, admits. Targeting the engine cylinders was kind of fun
Kind of fun.
because it was challenging hitting that specific spot and then the big visual effect,
Yeah.
the steam explosion.
A technical challenge, maybe, amidst all the horror. But then he draws a really clear line when it comes to people.
Exactly. He says he only deliberately targeted a staff car once, thinking it had high-ranking officers, the ones running the war, he called them.
Ah, okay.
But ordinary soldiers, like a truck driver, the poor Joe, he saw them as just being in the wrong place, wrong time. It suggests a sort of personal code, even in war.
It really does. And then there's that story about the truck he attacked, the one that just exploded massively.
Yeah, turned out it was carrying landmines. His relief at surviving the shrapnel himself is palpable.
And he just assumed no one in the truck could possibly have survived. It
Yeah.
just shows the sheer destructive power involved, day in, day out.
Such stark life and death moments. And following that, he talks about actually shooting down a V1, a doodle bug.
That's a pretty big deal for a pilot. He was guided onto it by radar, east of Ashford.
And his first thought was to try that technique, using his wingtip to flip the V1 to disable it more safely.
A risky move in itself.
But it didn't work. So his determination just kicks in, and he decides to shoot it down. He even mentions feeling the recoil from the guns slowing his Spitfire down.
You would, firing those cannons. But he hit it.
Yep, hit it. It rolled over. Boom. Exploded in a field.
And he was close, dangerously close to the explosion. Felt lucky to get away unscathed.
Just another instance of skill, courage, and maybe, yeah, a bit of luck all coming together.
Shows the dangers weren't just from the enemy, but from the weapons they were fighting too. The video then kind of moves into reflection, doesn't it? Looking back on his life.
It's remarkably positive, his overall take. He feels he's had a good life, despite, facing death daily as a young pilot. He acknowledges everyone coped differently with that stress.
The psychological pressure must have been unbelievable.
And then he shares that quote, "Wow, when an old man dies, a library burns."
It's incredibly powerful, isn't it? Such a perfect metaphor for losing all those memories, experiences, that wisdom, all gone.
And what makes it even sadder, perhaps, is the next thought that often these libraries, they're never even really checked out.
Their stories just go unheard. Untapped knowledge. It really makes you think about talking to people, doesn't it? While we still can.
The YouTube host says something similar, regrets his own meeting with John was quite brief. He mentions John wrote a book, which probably has more details.
Yeah, you definitely get that sense of wanting to know more.
The host wonders about his upbringing, his faith, other pages in that library he didn't get to explore.
Leaves you feeling that way too. Every single person holds this unique collection of stories, just waiting.
Absolutely. Which, well, it brings us right back to where we started this whole deep dive,
Yeah.
looking at John Wilkinson's experiences through this YouTube video.
Yeah.
It just underlines how vital it is to look beyond that surface impression. What seems ordinary can hide the extraordinary.
Totally. From the sheer skill of flying a Spitfire in combat to the profound weight of witnessing something like Bergen-Belsen, his story covers such a huge
It
range.
really does.
And it reminds you that getting knowledge isn't just about facts, it's about understanding the human stories behind them, recognizing the depth in everyone.
So, for you listening, we really hope this look into John Wilkinson's life gave you some of those aha moments, uncovering his story. It definitely makes you think about the libraries in your own life, right? The people around you, colleagues, neighbors, family, They all have their own story.
Untold stories, maybe.
So maybe that's the final thought for today. Take the initiative. Be curious. Check them out. You know, ask some questions. Really listen. You might be genuinely amazed at the incredible stories right there, waiting to be discovered.